One sec there. We'll start the questions and I'll start with Ian. Ian, go for it.
Evening, Andrew. Just can you tell us your first how the first few days have gone? You fully into T20 mode now?
Sorry, I didn't really get that, Ian.
Oh, here we go again. Must be my end. No, just asking how's the first few days gone in Oman? Are you fully into T20 mode?
Yeah, we've just come from Dubai. We were there for we were in Dubai on, I think we flew out on Friday.
Yeah.
And we had some days training in the Sevens cricket ground, which was an amazing facility out in Dubai. So we managed to get some really good practice in there and some volume and miles in the legs. And we moved into Muscat today. So full T20 mode, of course.
If you haven't actually been to the ground yet then, okay.
No. We go down tomorrow, all going well. We did a test when we arrived today and I think it's a rapid test. So once we get that back and we get the all clear, we'll be training tomorrow evening, probably late afternoon.
This quadrangular tournament coming up, obviously you want to win every game, but is it a case of finding your right team for the UAE game next Friday?
I suppose we kind of want to make sure that kind of first or second game, we're fairly sure what team we want to go with, because we want to give guys a pretty good run into the start of the tournament next week. We're fairly sure of what sort of a side we want to go into, maybe with a couple of areas that we'll discuss over the next, tomorrow. But we kind of want to make sure that guys get two or three good solid games in before we hopefully hit the ground running once the tournament starts next week.
So all 14 mightn't necessarily get a game over the next 3 days?
Yeah, potentially not. Depending on personnel, I'd say it's probably more likely, 12, 13, 13 max, I'd imagine.
What have you locked in? Can you tell us that? Are you definitely going to open with Sterlo, no matter what happens?
Yeah. No, I'll be opening. And then in terms of batting order, probably won't tell until maybe the first couple of games.
But obviously, have you said where Lorcan's going to bat after his success in America?
Yeah, he did really well at three. We'll probably go with Gareth at three. I'd imagine that was what we wanted to go with
at
the start. And I can't really see that changing. It was great what Lorcan did when he came in. But certainly, it's more chance of Lorcan playing in the middle order in that role.
In a case of, two spinners, probably?
We'll have to see. We haven't been down to the ground yet. We'll get a good.
I think we just lost.
You lost him.
Lost Andy. Wait for him. He'll dial back in. I'm just going to put everyone on mute there. The reason is the Zoom's not picking up who the speaker is sometimes. I think it's because
you're. Can you hear me?
Cool.
Sorry, I was just saying, can I go on?
Yep.
Yeah, please go on.
Sorry, I was just saying, we'll have to get a good look at the surfaces once we kind of get to the ground and stuff. But we'll see over the next day or two.
And it's going to be helpful playing the three main rivals for this. Obviously, the semi-finals are in the main tournament. And we've got a chance to have a look at our three rivals over the next 3 days.
Yeah, it'll be good. Just get more games under the belt in T20 cricket. It's a form of the game that we need to play a lot more of. And obviously playing the teams you're going to potentially play against, but also playing at the ground you're going to be playing in. It benefits us and it obviously benefits the other teams as well.
Okay, cheers.
Thanks.
Nicola.
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
Hi.
Good. You mentioned there about obviously T20 results maybe not where you've wanted them to be in recent times. So how big an opportunity is this, Andrew, supposed to kind of work on that?
It is an opportunity. It's probably a short opportunity. We don't necessarily want to work on things. We want to make sure that we kind of hit the ground running. We're going to be playing a couple of games that are must win and we're aware of that and the carrot at the end of it. But there's no hiding from the fact that our T20 cricket has been inconsistent and it was so in the US, albeit we did finish with a pretty gutsy win in a low scoring game, but we're fully confident as a squad. We obviously, albeit in a different series, a different format, we got a lot of confidence from what the guys did in Jamaica in the 50 over game, and hopefully we can bring that sort of confidence into the games coming up.
Okay, and the carrot at the end of it, Andrew, just how big an incentive is that, and what would it mean to make it?
Yeah, it's a big incentive. You know, we all were hugely disappointed with how it went before Christmas, and I think a lot of the guys are really eager to have another crack at it, and this is the start of it. There's no sort of hiding place in tournaments like this. There's a huge goal at the end of it. As a team, as a cricketing family, if you like, we need to be playing in these tournaments as often as possible, and you don't get too many opportunities to play in these. So yeah, it's exciting to be part of. It's exciting to play cricket no matter where you are in the world, and I think the guys are really excited about the challenge over the next couple of weeks.
And just mentioning challenges, I know COVID's obviously been an issue in the bubbles and all those things that come with it. How have things been going in that respect?
They've been fine. You know, we all got through the tests that we've done over the last kind of, since we got here on Friday. We had a bit more freedom in Dubai. I think we have a bit more freedom here. But guys are pretty tuned in with what's required. You know, we're not going into indoor places for long periods of time. We're aware of what's at stake with all that, but it's just part and parcel, and it's nice to come to Oman. It's a place we really like. It's a kind of quiet place, a lot quieter to kind of the UAE, and it's a lovely cricket ground and good facilities. So it's an exciting couple of weeks, I think.
And can you still get obviously different times still, Andrew, but the feel among the camp and among the squad, just what's the kind of general feel, and in terms of the format as well?
Yeah, I mean, guys are just excited to play T20 cricket. It's a format that excites the players as much as it excites people watching it. You know, we're crying out for consistency in this format, and hopefully these three matches leading into the tournament itself, we can find that and go into that tournament with a lot of confidence in what we've done building up to it.
John Kenny.
How you doing, Andy?
Hey, John.
Just reading one of your tweets. One day I hope we never have to bubble, never have to quarantine, never have to isolate, never have to test, never have to sweat on a result one day. And there's obviously a series of pictures of you locked in your room, sadly, for the 50 over games. How's the sense of well-being? How's the mind of the squad with that kind of thing in mind?
Yeah, and I really should have probably turned off Twitter for that week. I was in the room. I lost the run of myself a bit. But no, it's a lot better at this time. You know, we were home for, I think, 3 weeks in between these two tours, and naturally I was itching to get back out here and get playing because I missed the last week in the Caribbean. But like I said, it's slightly more relaxed. In Dubai, we were able to play around the golf. We were able to go to coffee shops that were outside and stuff like that. So it was a bit more freedom, and that just relaxes the guys on its own and puts everyone in good form. I think no matter what tour we go on, we're in pretty good places. The guys are pretty strong-minded at this stage. We obviously had a few hurdles in the Caribbean, but naturally you saw what the guys did on the pitch. They got through that with flying colours. So certainly the morale is as high as it's been over the last, you know, two years.
I know Sterlow is one of your best mates. How did you see his captaincy? Did you glean anything from that yourself? I know the two of you are captain and vice captain.
Brutal captain.
Was there anything that kind of the two of you kind of got together and say we could take this forward?
Look, it's something like he's got a brilliant cricket brain, and I think everyone's aware of that. He's played in so much big tournaments with amazing players and amazing captains. So the knowledge that he has is, you know, a lot vaster to what I have. And that's why, you know, throughout my captaincy, we have a lot of chats and discussions about how we can bring this team best forward. And I was naturally gutted when I was ruled out, but the two of us were still in contact about how we can win these games with what we had. And you know, he had a clear plan with what he wanted to do. And I think clarity was the big thing, because there was so much going on off the pitch that we needed to make sure once the guys were on the pitch, they were fully focused on the job at hand. And I think he did that brilliantly. And the guys at the end of that week just deserved everything they got. And like I said, in, you know, those tweets, I was just so happy with how it ended after such a kind of chaotic 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, because you need to back him up. It's always been the word, isn't it? It's back up Sterlow and make sure that the batting goes right down. And it's so important to T20. I mean, it's a different form of the game, but he, at least, as you say, has been biffing the ball in various different tournaments around the world. So it's a format of the game that he knows very well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. And he's played, like I said earlier, he's just played in so many, you know, I couldn't tell you how many T20 games he's played in. He's, you know, hundreds, and he's got an incredible record, and he had a brilliant week last week. We were all watching him in Dubai when he was playing in the PSL, and, you know, he's taken a lot of plaudits there, and rightly so. I know the IPL auction is coming up in, I think, this weekend, and, you know, we'll be itching for him to get into that, because I think he fully deserves it the way he's played and what he can do to attacks on his own. And as an Irish captain, as an Irish player, you want him to take that into next week, and I've no doubt that he will.
Yeah, he's very much committed to the Irish cause, which is great, obviously, from your point of view as a captain. Just the final one for me then, how much pressure is on you then to qualify further down the line after all these warm-up games? There must be a lot of pressure having missed out the last time.
Yeah, I think there's pressure with most of the games that we play in at the moment, but this is obviously, like I said, it's a huge card at the end of the tournament, and, you know, we're fully expecting to put in good performances that weren't getting into that World Cup in, at the end of the year. We let ourselves down a bit in that last game at the World Cup, and there's a bit of kind of guys want to get out there again and prove that we're not a, you know, a bad T20 team, that maybe some of the results have shown. We want to show that we're a good T20 team. We play a good brand of cricket, and hopefully we can do that over the next fortnight.
All right. Good luck with it. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, John.
David Townsend. David? David's on mute.
Is that it?
That's better.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bit of an old dinosaur with these technologies, you know. So there you go. Yeah, now just looking at the batting lineup, I think it's fair to say in recent T20s, it's been the lack of really sort of power hitting, finding the boundaries, that's been the problem.
Yeah, and it's something we've addressed, certainly in that kind of those middle overs where we haven't accelerated the way we wanted to, for whatever reason. We've spoken as a batting group to, you know, there's only so much talking you can do, I suppose, that we need to go out and experience it and experience those situations again and try different things that maybe we didn't try. And you've just got to give the guys the confidence to go out and do it. It's all very well to talk about it and have meetings about it, but you've got to put the faith in the guys to go out and perform. And that's what we're trying to do day in, day out. They are training hard and making sure they're working on specific skills and specific roles. So hopefully we see that over the next while.
This will be the first sort of major qualifiers you've been in without Kevin O'Brien. That's going to be a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's been, you know, the heart and soul of this squad for a long time. He's been around for a very long time, and you know, it is what it is. And unfortunately, he hasn't made the cut for this squad, but, you know, I know he's itching to play the Interpros this year for Munster and prove a few people wrong. And that's what you want. You want your players in Ireland going out and performing whenever they get the opportunity. And I've no doubt that he'll get the bit between his teeth this summer and try to force his way back into the squad.
As captain, were you sort of party to his non-selection?
There were discussions had. And, you know, I spoke with a couple of selectors about, you know, what I think is best for the team, and they gave me their feedback as well. Naturally, you know, I was quite close with Graham Ford at the time, and decisions were made, and you know, that's the way we're going at the moment. And like I said, if Kev gets the head down this summer and wants to prove a lot of people wrong, then you know, I'll be fully backing him to do so.
Final one from me. It's going to be a funny couple of weeks, isn't it? Because you've potentially got 8 games. But really, all the focus is going to be on that semi-final, assuming you qualify from the group. It's that one big game to qualify for Australia. Is there any way you can sort of plan for that and you know, focus for it?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at the way it's laid out, the tournament, I think a lot of people say that is the way it is set up. But we can't be naive, or we can't be we can't take any game for granted. You know, our inconsistency has been a kind of Achilles heel for us recently. So we know that we need to string performances together to gain confidence. So, as you know, I really don't think we can look too far down the line. If it comes to that, then we'll get our heads around that and plan for that. But you know, these 3 games are about trying to get some momentum going into the next 3 games. And you know, if we can play good cricket once the tournament starts and build some momentum, we'll see where we are at the end of it. And if that means playing a one-off game against whoever it is, we'll have hopefully some money in the bank that, you know, haven't had a really good couple of weeks. But yeah, I really think it would be naive to look too far ahead.
Okay, do we have any more questions on you? Yeah, Bobby's Warburg. Bobby?
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi.
It's good to see you looking so well.
Oh, thank you very much.
I see three sort of jewels going on in the squad for spots. In the middle, sort of Curtis and Harry sort of could be vying in there, come in at four or five, that sort of area. And secondly, spinner, Andrew and Simi, Andrew McBride. And finally, keeper, Dorkin or Pebbles. What are your views on those things?
Yeah, well, I suppose first of all, Lorcan's, you know, Neil Rock is currently one of the reserves, so, you know, Lorcan will take the gloves for the next few games, all going well. So yeah, that's that area. I suppose with the other areas you mentioned, it's really competitive, and that's what you kind of want. You've probably mentioned two positions that are probably the most competitive, but I think if you give it to either one of the four in those specific roles, they'll do a really good job. And we've got to make sure that once we make the decision that we're fully behind it and we're fully backing the guys that are in those roles. But I suppose as a management group and as a captain, you want to have that competitiveness within groups, no matter where it was. You always want to look over your shoulder because that creates a good environment. It means that you need to play better to kind of stay away from the person behind you. So, you know, I think that the more we have that sort of competitiveness in the squad for places, I think the better the squad will be as a whole.
Okay, it's good to have that sort of embarrassment of riches. certainly, Scrat looks as if he'd be well able to hit a lot of balls a long way, and Simi can do an awful lot of damage with the ball. It's interesting. It's pleasant, I think.
Yeah, it is, and the two guys you've named have been playing some really good cricket, and I've had really standout performances over the last 12 months. Andy on the back of what he did in the Caribbean, stepping up when we were missing Simi, you know, those two have been crucial to our successes in 50-over cricket over the last number of years. Simi, obviously, last summer scoring that amazing 100 in Malahide, which was a highlight for a lot of us, just seeing the way he did that. And guys are really putting in match-winning performances, and we need to make sure that a few of us stand up over the next couple of weeks and make a name for ourselves and get the squad to a World Cup at the end of the year.
Well, that's it from me, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
John Kenny.
Yeah, just one question to you, Andy. How are you feeling after the COVID?
Yeah, feel fine. I had one bad day when I was in isolation. It basically just felt like a really strong head cold, something that I've had before. But certainly once I was through that, it was just the isolation of it that kind of got to me and affected me a bit. But yeah, no, I feel absolutely fine now. No kind of long COVID or anything like that.
Bernard Whelan.
Yeah, hi Andy. Just a quick question from me. The UAE, obviously the stronger side that you'll be facing in the next few days and indeed weeks. But obviously, is it from your own point of view, is it a lot more tricky, say, playing against teams like Oman and Nepal that you might know that much about?
Yeah, we know a fair bit about Oman and Nepal. We've played them over the last couple of years, and all these teams are, you know, a lot of these teams' main focus is T20 cricket. So there is a lot of footage of them out there that we can look at and study before we play them. So we'll certainly be doing that before we play. We know the UAE pretty well. We played them before Christmas and before the World Cup in Dubai. But I know it's a bit of an old cliche, but I think if we just focus on making sure that we get our things right and our performances right, and back that if we put in really good performances as a team, that we can beat these these teams, and we've showed that in 50 over cricket, and there's been a big emphasis on our own performances rather than the teams we're playing or the players that we're playing. So we just need to make sure that we kind of don't look too far ahead, but also make sure that we're fully focused on the every day and the next day, and making sure that we're ready to go, and we've done our homework on the opposition leading into the games.
And do you think it's getting a little bit more difficult playing against these teams, that maybe the gap is closing between various teams at this level in the game?
I think it's great for the game that there is so many competitive teams. It's a testament to what these countries are doing at international level. They're playing a lot of T20 cricket. Teams like Nepal have a really good T20 league that a couple of our guys have played in before. The UAE guys have played in the T10, and the Oman players are really good cricketers, and I've no doubt the other teams like Bahrain and Germany have some really good cricketers as well. So they're in this qualification tournament for a reason, as are we. So we have no right to take any team lightly, and we'll be making sure that we do that. We don't do that leading into the next couple of weeks.
Okay, best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ian, a follow-up question?
Yes. Andrew, you mentioned the series against UAE, obviously back in October. We lost that one, of course, 2-1. Does that mean anything, or is T20 just literally turn up on the day and literally anything can happen? Or can we learn anything from that series?
Oh, we can certainly learn some things from their players and the way they went about it. That was a really disappointing series leading into the World Cup. But yeah, I think it's we're trying to not focus too much on what's happened, and we're trying to really, cliche I know, but we're really trying to focus on the next couple of weeks and not look too far back, particularly that period where, you know, there was a lot of disappointment in that that few weeks. So we've got to make sure that we kind of, not erase it because it happened and you need to learn from it, but I think just focus on, you know, trying to bring this T20 team forward and almost starting afresh from the next couple of weeks, and making sure that all going well, we'll have a really exciting and really positive year in T20 cricket.
Thanks.
John Kenny, was there a follow-up?
No, I'm done. Sorry, I'm done.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, all. Thank you, Andy.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, mind yourself, Andy. Good luck with it.
Just for journalists, the games will be broadcast. I'm just trying to find the detail of where they'll be broadcast. Probably on Free Sports or Eurosports.
The warm-up games?
Yeah, the three matches coming
up. Oh, okay, great. And you record that and set it up in Google Drive, yeah?
Yep, so this is recorded. I'm about to stop recording now.